Noyach was a big tzaddik. Noyach was a big tzaddik. From his kapala till his fisala, Noyach was a big tzaddik.
In the kapala is the fisala.
Noyach was a big tzaddik. Noyach was a big tzaddik. From his kapala.
Hello, I'm Adrian Iosifescu, your host of the History of the Romanian Jews podcast, and this is episode 29, where we'll be discussing some of the remarkable Romanian rabbis and tzaddikim. By the way, you just listened to the song Every Yid's a Big Tzaddik, sang by Mandy Warsh. A link to the full song is provided in the episode notes. There were many famous rabbis in the history of Jewish life in Romania, but given the podcast limitations, we'll focus here only on those who had the most impact on Romanian Jewry, social, cultural, and religious life. On the political and social front, three names stand out: Jacob Itzhak Nimerover, Alexander Shafran, and Yehuda Leib Tzirson. Rabbi Dr. Jacob Itzhak Nimerover was one of the most important leaders of the Romanian Jewry in the first half of the 20th century. He was a modern rabbi, theologist, philosopher, historian, and astute politician. Rabbi Nimerover served as the first chief rabbi of Romanian Jewry between 1921 and 1939, and was a member of the Romanian Senate from 1927 until his death in 1939. An ardent supporter of Zionism and a courageous fighter against anti-Semitism, Dr. Nimerover defended the civil and human rights of Romanian Jews and led them on the path towards modernization of community life in the spirit of what he called cultural Judaism. This meant adhering to Jewish tradition while remaining open to the Romanian language and culture and to universal influences. Jacob Itzhak Nimerover was born on March 1, 1872, in the Galician town of Lemberg, then under Austrian administration, now Lvov in Ukraine. His father, Nahum Nimerover, was a Jewish trader. The family moved later to Iasi in the Romanian kingdom. He received his first lesson of Torah from his paternal grandfather, then from the Melamed, or the Jewish teacher, Mendel Barash. From them, he acquired a good knowledge about the Hasidic teachings. Later, Jacob became the pupil of the famous Rabbi and Dayan, religious leader in Jewish religious school, from Lemberg, Rabbi Isaac Aharon Ettinger. In 1890, Nimerover went to study in Berlin, where he became acquainted with the Haskalah and with the Western philosophy. There he met the German philosopher and Judaist Moritz Lazarus, who became one of his best friends and exercised a great influence on him. Nimerover studied at the Neo-Orthodox Theological Rabbinical Seminary of Berlin and had as teacher one of its founders, Rabbi Azriel Hildesheimer, ideologist of the modern Jewish orthodoxy. As demanded by the curriculum, he attended university secular studies in parallel, philosophy, history, and Oriental studies, all in Berlin. In 1895, he got the title of Doctor in Philosophy with magna cum laude at the University of Bern in Switzerland. His PhD thesis debated about the reciprocal relations between free will, conscience, reward, and punishment. At the end of the theological studies, he got the license of an Orthodox rabbi from the rabbi Ernst Abraham Bieberfeld. Of his coming back to Iasi in 1896, he won the hearts of many of the local Jews and succeeded in being elected in 1908 as chief rabbi of this important community. During those years, he was very active in supporting the new created Zionist movement. In between 1897 and 1898, he renewed the Zionist Association Ohole Shem, God's Tents, which functioned in the past under the leadership of Dr. Karpel Lipe. He also took part in the editing of several Zionist gazettes like Răsăritul in Romanian, The Sunrise, and he attended the Zionist congresses of 1905 and 1908. In 1908, Nemirova launched the term of synthetic Zionism, which in his view had to integrate the political Zionism, the line of Theodor Herzl, with the practical Zionism, that of the resettlements in Palestine. Rabbi Nemirova was one of the most enthusiastic supporters of the modern Jewish education system, which tried to integrate the study of Judaism and Hebrew language with the secular studies, including country's vernacular. He facilitated the founding of Jewish schools and the establishment of a theological seminary, a society for Jewish education called Sharon, and a society for Jewish studies. He also strongly promoted the idea that worldwide Jewish cultural life should be led by a Jabnean Academy, which should be founded in Jerusalem. Its function should be the cultural renaissance of Judaism, similar to the school of Jabne, a significant center of Jewish learning established following the destruction of the Second Temple. In 1906, Dr. Nemirova was among the founders of the cultural society Toynbee Hall in Yash, that was a kind of Jewish popular university under Zionist inspiration, which had the cooperation of a lot of intellectuals and celebrities from Romania and abroad. Here came to lecture during the first 10 years Jewish personalities like Bernard Lazar, Nahum Sokolov, or Shalom Alechem, who delighted the public with lectures from his stories and novels in Yiddish. In 1911, despite being Ashkenazi, Dr. Nemirova was invited by the Sephardi Jewish community of Bucharest to be its rabbi. In 1921, Dr. Jacob Itzhak Nemirova was elected the Grand Rabbi of the Romanian Jewry, then as a chief rabbi, a new office created by the community of Bucharest. As chief rabbi, he was elected in 1922 to the Romanian Senate, the first Jew to ever receive such an appointment, and was recognized by the government as a representative of all Romanian Jewry. By force of his intellect and personality, he became the chief figure in the religious as well as the general communal life of Romanian Jewry. As remarkable as his activities have been so far, he is most remembered and admired for his tremendous effort on behalf of the Romanian Jews in order to get them the Romanian citizenship. As a representative of the Jews in Romania, Rabbi Nemirova took part to the Paris Peace Conference in 1919 together with Dr. Wilhelm Filderman, the leader and founder of the Union of the Native Jews political party in Romania. They became close partners in the defense of Romanian Jews' rights. As a result of their efforts, he had the satisfaction to witness the recognition by the Romanian authorities of the civil rights of all Jews in the Romanian state in 1923 new constitution. Given the rise of Nazi-type anti-Semitism in his country and in Europe in general, in 1938, Rabbi Nemirova visited Palestine in order to check on the possibilities of a mass emigration of the Jews from Romania. On November 18, 1939, Jacob Itzhak Nemirova died in Bucharest. He was buried in the Old Jewish Cemetery of Bucharest. Dr. Nemirova published over 650 articles and numerous books in German, Romanian, French, Hebrew, and Yiddish languages. Another important leader of the Romanian Jewry in the 20th century was Alexandru Șafran. Rabbi Șafran was born in Bacău and received his doctorate in philosophy from Vienna University in 1933. He briefly succeeded his father as rabbi in Bacău before becoming the chief rabbi of Romania in 1940 at the age of 29, the youngest chief rabbi in the world. As you may know, in September 1940, Romania allied with Nazi Germany and under Nazi influence has begun to introduce anti-Jewish laws. refusing to emigrate to British-controlled Palestine, Shafran was among the senior Jewish leaders arrested in July 1941 after Romania entered the Second World War. Shafran used all his diplomatic skills to have everybody freed, telling the Bucharest police chief they would be official hostages for their community's good behavior. Shafran lobbied the Orthodox patriarch Nicodim, whom he remembered as a grim, ruthless old man of the anti-Semitic priesthood, in his successful campaign to have the Yellow Star badge abolished soon after its introduction in Romania. In December 1941, all Jewish organizations were abolished, and Shafran helped set up a Jewish council which worked underground. Despite the dangers, he lobbied tirelessly to try to prevent successive waves of deportations of Jews from Romania to the death camps. He worked closely with the Vatican Nuncio Andrea Cassulo, sympathetic members of the royal family, and even the dictator Ion Antonescu's wife. In 1942, Shafran used his contacts with ambassadors, notably the Swiss René de Weck, the Queen Mother Elena, and church officials, including the Papal Nuncio Andrea Cassulo, to convince Antonescu to resist German demands for the wholesale deportation of the Jews from Romania. The majority of Romanian Jews were saved from the German camps' fate because of Shafran's efforts. As World War II continued, the Jewish Council organized efforts to aid and lobby for the return of Jews deported to Transnistria. That so many had survived was testament to Shafran's tenacity. As he says, the first Passover after the liberation was a true celebration of freedom, he later recalled. The Soviet Deputy Foreign Minister Andrei Vyshinsky received him in Bucharest in November 1944. In 1945, he worked with composer George Enescu to raise relief funds for the Romanian famine, including a United States tour. The violinist Yehudi Menuhin brought great encouragement to the traumatized Jewish community when he visited Bucharest's Choral Synagogue and Shafran's home in 1946. However, Shafran refused to cooperate with the communist authorities after the war, and in 1947, he was forced into exile to Geneva, Switzerland, with his wife and children. In 1948, he became chief rabbi of Geneva, where he remained until his death. He would not see Romania again for 50 years. In the late 1940s, Shafran had traveled to the United States, where he met Albert Einstein at Princeton University. Einstein gave him a photograph of himself with a personal dedication, which Shafran kept on his desk. Shafran was an early pioneer of Jewish-Christian relations. He maintained warm relations with Cardinal Augustin Bia, the leading Catholic advocate of better interfaith relations. Indeed, Bia traveled to Geneva to consult with him many times during the Second Vatican Council. In meetings with Pope John Paul II in 1984 and 85, Shafran urged the Vatican to establish diplomatic relations with the State of Israel, something not achieved until 1993. Despite his tumultuous life, Shafran remained preeminently a scholar, working right up till his death. Asked once if he was preparing another book, he responded with a smile, "I'm always working on a new book." He wrote several books, including a memoir. His best-known writings are on the Kabbalah. He was elected an honorary member of the Romanian Academy in 1997, and he's buried in Israel beside his wife, Sarah. Rabbi Yehuda Leib Tzirson was a chief rabbi of Bessarabia, a member of the Romanian parliament, and a prominent Jewish leader and Pozek. By the way, Pozek means a legal scholar who determines the application of halakha, the Jewish religious laws derived from the written and oral Torah. Yehuda Leib Tzirson was the son of the rabbi of Kozolets, Moshe Haim. He was considered a prodigy at a young age and became the rabbi of Priluki at the age of 19. From 1880, he served as a rabbi in Poltava until 1908, when he was appointed religious and crown rabbi at Chisinau. In 1911, he was one of the signatories of a letter by 300 prominent Russian rabbis against the anti-Semitic Bayliss affair case. That same year, he received the title of Honorable Citizen of the Russian Empire. In 1912, he was among a core group of Jewish leaders and rabbis who led the foundation for the Aguda Israel movement. In 1918, Bessarabia became part of Romania, and Rabbi Tzirsen was nominated chief rabbi of the whole Bessarabia. He developed there a Jewish educational system, beginning with kindergarten and ending with yeshiva. Many prominent rabbis, including future rabbis of Rybnica, like Rabbi Chaim Zanul Abramovitz and Buhush, studied in his yeshiva. In 1898, he participated in the first all-Russian Zionist conference in Warsaw. In 1920, having knowledge of the Romanian language, he was elected to represent the Jews of Bessarabia in the Parliament of Romania in Bucharest. In 1922, he became the first Bessarabian Jewish representative in Parliament. In Parliament, Tzirsen tried to warn about the growing anti-Semitism in Romania, but the delegates refused to publish his speeches in the Parliament periodical. After the Soviet annexation of Bessarabia, he was labeled by communist-backed newspapers as an anti-Soviet agent. He was killed when the invading Germans bombed Chisinau in June of 1941. On the religious front, we'll focus on two remarkable rabbis, Avraham Matishyahu Friedman and Joel Teitelbaum. Rabbi Avraham Matishyahu Friedman was a leading Hasidic rabbi and the founder of the Stephanist dynasty. He was the son of Rabbi Menachem Nochum and was born on the eighth day of Hanukkah, 1847, in Sadigura, close to Chernivtsi, today in Ukraine. At his Brit Milah, his grandfather, the Russian Rebbe, gave him the second name of Matishyahu after Mattathias Maccabi, the high priest. Rabbi Avraham Matishyahu was 21 years old when his father, Rabbi Menachem Nochum, died in 1869. After much pleading and the approval of his uncle, Rabbi Avraham Yaakov Friedman, the first rabbi of Sadegura, Rabbi Avraham Matishyahu, agreed to fill his father's position, a role that he held for over 64 years. His influence over Romanian Jewry was immense, and his following numbered in the thousands. He was revered by Jews and Christians alike. On his annual visit to Bucharest, all shops were closed in the honor, and tens of thousands of people came out to welcome him. The presence of his court turned Stefanești into one of the most important Hasidic centers in Eastern Europe. Three of the 10 synagogues in the town were located in the Rebbe's courtyard, and daily at his table, 60 poor people ate. The Rebbe also looked after the welfare of many devout Hasidim who cut themselves off from the outside world in order to pursue their divine service. Among those who stayed for months or even years in his court were Rabbi Chaim Zanul Abramovitz, the Rebnitzer Rebbe, and Rabbi Eliezer Zusia Portugal, the first Kulener Rebbe. The second Stefanești Rebbe died on July 15, 1933. His funeral, held in the town of Iași, attracted over 50,000 mourners. As he was never blessed with offsprings, he had invited his sister's son, Rabbi Menachem Nochum of Itzkan, to Stefanești in order to succeed him. The grave of the second Stefanești Rebbe became a hallowed pilgrimage site for Jews and Christians alike, attracting thousands of visitors on his yard site and then depositing of thousands of prayer notes written in Hebrew, Yiddish, and Romanian in his ohel, Ohel is the house structure built over the grave at Stefanești, becoming one of the most important pilgrimage sites in Europe for the Hasidic Jews. In 1968, Dr. Joseph Breyer, former FBICE Dean, head of the Rabbinical Court of Stefanești, and as of 2006, rabbi in the Tiferet Avram Matishyanu Synagogue in the Bronx, New York, initiated a plan to re-enter the Rebbe's remains in Israel. The body was exhumed under the direction of Dr. Moses Rosen, chief rabbi of Romania at that time, and re-entered in the Rushkin plot in the Nahalat Itzak Cemetery in Givatayim, Israel. The new gravesite also became a shrine for people in need of blessing and salvation, with thousands of visitors each year on the Rebbe's earth site. Back in Romania, Orthodox Christian peasants continue to light candles and leave prayer notes in the rabbi's empty ohel in the hope that the rabbi will still intercede on their behalf. The second Stefanești Rebbe is considered to be one of the hidden tzaddikim of his generation. The rabbi from Stefanești was famous for the miracles he performed in his time life and even after. On one occasion, a Hasid came to the rabbi crying that his daughter has fallen ill with typhus and was in a desperate condition. Her hours were numbered and only a miracle could save her. The Rebbe gave the Hasid his personal spoon, which he used every morning to eat breakfast, and a piece of his bread, and told the Hasid to feed the bread to his daughter with the spoon. Although the girl couldn't swallow and hadn't eaten anything in days, she readily consumed the Rebbe's shirayim, which are leftovers from a rabbi's meal, and a few days later she was back to herself and lived to a ripe old age. The spoon, handed down from generation to generation, is still a family heirloom today. The rabbi also healed the child of a Romanian boyar who had come to ask him for help. The landowner no longer knew how to deal with the disease that tormented his child, and no doctor could heal. The rabbi made for the boy a little man out of clay called Midbri, and the child was cured immediately. The boyard was so thankful that he gave the rabbi a carriage. There is also the story of a Jewish woman who could not have children. She tried and tried, and desperately she came to the rabbi's grave in Stefanești to pray. After that, she had three children. Another remarkable rabbi was Joel Teitelbaum, the founder of the Satmar dynasty, a prominent Hasidic rebbe and Talmudic scholar. He was probably the best known Haredi opponent of all forms of modern political Zionism. Joel Teitelbaum was born on April 13, 1887, the fifth and the youngest child of Grand Rabbi Chananiah Yom Tov Lipa Teitelbaum and his second wife Chana Ashkenazi. Chananiah served as the rabbi of Sighetu Marmației in Romania and was the dean of the local rabbinical seminary and the leader of the eponymous Hasidic movement based in the city. He was the great-grandson of Moshe Teitelbaum, a disciple of the seer of Lublin, who was one of the main promulgators of Hasidism in Hungary. The rabbis of the Teitelbaum family were known for their highly conservative stance and their opposition to the Enlightenment, Neologue Judaism, and Zionism. Joel was renowned for his intellectual capacities from a young age. At his bar mitzvah, he delivered a sermon of several hours concerning an issue from the Shabbat tractate in the Talmud. He was stringent in matters regarding ritual purity and would lengthily prepare for prayer by meticulously cleaning himself. In 1904, just several days before his father's death on February 15th, the 17-year-old married Shava Horowitz, the daughter of Abraham Chaim Horowitz of Polanyak. Teitelbaum's older brother, Chaim Tzvi Teitelbaum, succeeded their father in all three of his positions. a small faction of the Hasidim, regarded Joel Teitelbaum as the appropriate heir, and he was also supported by his mother. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to get the position, and he moved to his new father-in-law residence in Radomils, Yelki, and remained there for over a year. On September 8, 1905, he settled in Satumare, or Satmar in Yiddish. Despite his youth, supporters opened a study hall for him. He gradually began to attract a small local following. In 1911, Teitelbaum was invited by the Jewish community in Orsheva, now in Ukraine, then part of the Austro-Hungarian Empire, to serve as their town's rabbi. During his stay there, he established a local seminary and spread the ideas of Hasidism among the populace. Upon the outbreak of the First World War, he returned to Satumare, where his old study hall gradually developed into a full-fledged seminary. The chief Orthodox rabbi of Satmar, Yehuda Greenwald, died on March 9, 1920. Several of Teitelbaum's supporters advanced his name as a possible candidate for the vacant office, but he was opposed by the non-Hasidic majority in the community, the modernist and the Zionist, as well as many of the Hasidim themselves. In 1922, Joel Teitelbaum returned to his community in Orshava, then in Czechoslovakia. In March 29, 1925, he was appointed chief rabbi of Karej. He moved to the city about a year later. In June 11, 1930, Joel was invited to serve as Satmar's chief rabbi. He accepted but arrived in the city only on February 27, 1934. With 334 students, his rabbinical seminary became Satmar's largest, having more pupils there than all other three seminaries combined. In August 1932, he visited Jerusalem. A small party there thought to appoint him as the Ashkenazi chief rabbi of the city in the wake of Josef Haim Sonnenfeld's death, but Yitzvi Dushinsky eventually received the post. In the winter of 1936, the Romanian King Carol II made a visit to the city of Satmar. A large parade consisting of thousands of soldiers and courtiers accompanied his arrival, and the municipality prepared a large stage upon which all the religious and municipal leaders of the town stood. Teitelbaum was there with all the other religious leaders. When the king approached the stage, he surveyed all the people who stood on it and started walking in Teitelbaum's direction, who was holding his rabbinical stick in one hand and his hat in the other. Two priests started walking towards the king, but he ignored them. Teitelbaum, suddenly noticing what was happening, saluted and said the blessing Shenatan Mishovo Livnei Adam, who gave from his honor to human beings. The king gave Teitelbaum his hand. The moment was documented by a Jewish photographer and was published in the Romanian press. Several days later, the king was asked why he approached the Orthodox rabbi first, and he responded, "Immediately when I walked towards the stage, I surveyed all those who were standing on it. My heart was attracted to this rabbi to his appearance that radiated spirituality." In 1940, following the Second Vienna Award, Satmar again became part of Hungary. Prior to the Holocaust, Teitelbaum ignored the threats to the Jews of Transylvania and failed to engage in the preparations of rescue and aid plans. When the Germans invaded Hungary, Teitelbaum's closest associates sought a safer way to smuggle him out by bribing two junior officers, driver of a Red Cross ambulance, who agreed to drive a group of Jews to Cluj in return for money. The travelers included Joel's family and several wealthy families who paid most of the costs. The attempt failed, and Teitelbaum was arrested and sent to the Cluj ghetto. Baron Fulop von Freudinger, the director of the Orthodox congregation in Budapest, selected 80 rabbis, among them Joel, and other prominent figures, and paid for their inclusion in the passengers list of a special train, which was to depart Transylvania for a neutral country. On June 30, 1944, once negotiations with the Germans had been concluded, the passengers boarded that special train that was planned to proceed to Switzerland, but was eventually diverted to Bergen-Belsen. The group was held in a special section in better conditions than those of other groups. Although the group included several notable figures, Teitelbaum was given special consideration. The group's physician accepted him from roll call, and volunteers performed the tasks imposed on him. With the help of the SS officer Hermann Krulny, the final arrangements were made and Teitelbaum was transferred to Switzerland with some Jews from the group. Upon his arrival in Switzerland, Joel Teitelbaum was accorded preferential treatment by the authorities. In August 1945, several hundred of the special train's passengers, Teitelbaum among them, left Switzerland for the port of Taranto in Italy. On the 30th, they boarded the ship Ville d'Oran, which arrived in Haifa in the morning of September 2nd. During his stay in the British Mandate of Palestine, he resided in Jerusalem at the house of his nephew and son-in-law, Lipa Meir Teitelbaum. After a year, the Satmar Rebbe emigrated to the United States. He arrived in New York on the second day of Rosh Hashanah of September 27, 1946, aboard the motor vessel Vulcania. He settled in Williamsburg, Brooklyn, with a small group of supporters. In late April 1948, the Satmar Hasidim established congregation Yetev Lev, named after his grandfather, which was registered as a religious corporation. The community's regulations, accepted in April 1952, decreed that Teitelbaum was the supreme spiritual authority over the members. In 1951, although not a resident of Israel, Teitelbaum was appointed to the ceremonial office of president of the Anti-Zionist Congress of God-Fearers in Jerusalem. After the death of Zalik Reuven Ben-Gis on May 21, 1953, he also succeeded him as the God-Fearers Rabbinical Court Chairman. In 1955, Teitelbaum founded the Central Rabbinical Congress, which he headed for the remainder of his life. From the early 1960s, the rabbi's envoys thought to establish a rural settlement in which the congregants could be secluded from the outside world. They eventually managed to purchase land in Monroe, upstate New York, where they built Kiryas Joel, town of Joel. The first family settled there in 1974. Joel Teitelbaum died on August 19, 1979. Over 100,000 people attended his funeral in Kiryat Joel. He was succeeded by his nephew, his older brother's second son, Rabbi Moshe Teitelbaum. Teitelbaum was famous for his vocal opposition to Zionism in all arenas. He encouraged his followers to form self-sufficient communities without assistance from the State of Israel and forbade any official engagement with it. Before Second World War, most Hasidic rabbis, as well as many other prominent Orthodox rabbis and leaders, believed that God has promised to return the Jewish people to the land of Israel under the leadership of the Jewish Messiah, who would arrive when the Jewish people had merited redemption. While awaiting the Messiah, the Jewish people were to perform the mitzvot and were not to antagonize or rebel against the Gentile nations of the world. In the years following the Holocaust, Teitelbaum undertook to straighten this position. In Teitelbaum's view, the founding of the modern state of Israel, founded by secular as well as religious Jews, rather than the Jewish Messiah, violated the Jewish commandment that Jews should wait for the Messiah. Moreover, Teitelbaum taught that the existence of the Zionist state of Israel was actually preventing the Messiah from coming. The last Rebbe we'll be discussing here is probably well known to you, Rabbi Solomon Schechter. He was a rabbi, academic scholar, and educator, most famous for his roles as founder and president of the United Synagogue of America, president of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America, and architect of the American Conservative Judaism movement. He was born in Focșani, Romania, to Rabbi Itzhak HaKohen, a shochet, a ritual slaughterer, and a member of Shabbat Hasidim. He was named after its founder, Shneur Zalman of Fliadi. Schechter received his early education from his father. Reportedly, he learned to read Hebrew by age 3, and by 5 he mastered Shumash. He went to a yeshiva in Piatra Neamț at age 10, and at age 13 studied with one of the major Talmudic scholars, Rabbi Joseph Saul Nathanson of Lemberg. In his 20s, he went to the Rabbinical College in Vienna, where he studied under the more modern Talmudic scholar Meir Friedman, before moving on in 1879 to undertake further studies at the Berlin Hochschule für die Wissenschaft der Judentum and the University of Berlin. In 1890, after the death of Solomon Marcus Schiller Sinesi, he was appointed to the faculty of at Cambridge University, serving as a lecturer in Talmudics and reader in rabbinics. His greatest academic fame came from his excavation in 1896 of the papers of the Cairo Geniza, an extraordinary collection of around 300,000 documents of rare Hebrew religious manuscripts and medieval Jewish texts that were preserved at an Egyptian synagogue. The find revolutionized the study of medieval Judaism. Jacob Safir was the first Jewish researcher to recognize the significance of the Cairo Geniza, as well as the first to publish the existence of the Midrash HaGadol. Schechter was alerted to the existence of the Geniza papers in May 1896 by two Scottish sisters, Anne and Margaret Smith, also known as Mrs. Lewis and Mrs. Gibson, who showed him some leaves from the Geniza that contain the Hebrew text of Shirach. Shirach is the ethical teachings written approximately between 196 and 175 our era by Yeshua ben Elizar ben Shirah, or Ben Shirah, Hellenistic Jewish scribe, which had for centuries only been known in Greek and Latin translation. Letters written at Schechter's prompting by Anne Smith to the Athenaeum and the Academy quickly revealed the existence of another 9 leaves of the same manuscript in the possession of Archibald Sayes at University of Oxford. Schechter quickly found support for another expedition to the Cairo Geniza and arrived there in December 1896 with the introduction from the chief rabbi Hermann Adler to the chief rabbi of Cairo, Aaron Raphael Ben Shimon. He carefully selected for the Cambridge University Library a trove of 3 times the size of any other collection, which is now part of the Taylor Schechter Collection. He became a professor of Hebrew at University College of London in 1899 and remained there until 1902 when he moved to the United States. In 1902, traditional Jews reacting against the progress of the American Reform Judaism movement recruited Schechter in U.S. to become president of the Jewish Theological Seminary of America. Schechter served as the second president of the Jewish Seminary of America from 1902 to 1915, during which time he founded the United Synagogue of America, later renamed as the United Synagogue of Conservative Judaism. He died in 1915 and is buried at Mount Hebron Cemetery in Flushing, Queens. Schechter was an early advocate of Zionism. He was the chairman of the committee that edited the Jewish publication Society of America version of the Hebrew Bible. Schechter's name is synonymous with the findings of the Cairo Geniza. He placed the Jewish Theological Seminary of America on an institutional footing strong enough to endure for over a century. He became identified as the foremost personality of conservative Judaism and is regarded as his founder. A network of conservative Jewish day schools is named in his honor. Several dozen Sholomon Schechter day schools across the United States and Canada. This concludes the episode of Romanian Rabbis. Until next podcast episode, be well.